or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, May the 23rd, 1986. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the teacher of the evening.
He gave us the 10 string instruments. Our hands are the closest thing to the expression of the cross that the scripture brings out in Psalms chapter 6. This is an introduction to the sermon tonight, or the message the Holy Spirit's put upon our heart, the eighth feast. Eighth feast. I feel we don't have time enough to sermonize. We must preach Revelation for this hour. He's promised it to us. Let's walk in it. Especially the tapes on your place, the body of Christ. See, there's four baptisms. We'll also be bringing this out. There's the baptism in water, and the agent, the assistant, is another believer. There's a baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the agent is Jesus. There's the baptism into the body, the third baptism. It's the most neglected subject in the church today, and the agent is the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the only one baptizes you in the body. You don't get offended at a pastor or get offended at this, that, and the other and move your location of worship. You must be moved by the Spirit. Or either that which you have is taken from you. I prove it by the authority of the Lord. We're in serious days, friend. We're in the army. We're not in a bunch of hicks and that we can just do anything we want to. Jesus is going to start beginning to reveal His Word. And the more we know that authority of the Word, you can say what you will and it shall be done. Amen?
Amen?
We're here to help you. That's why ministers are brought in, and that's why we expect you to back these meetings and ask the Lord what you're to give, not just decide what to give. Because as you prepare for revelation, revelation will come. And it can't be done with just a dollar or two token offering. We have got to prepare ourselves for the authority of the Word. I trust you've done that. If you haven't, be sure you'll do it before you leave tonight. Because there's a lot to be said about preparing our hearts. I need from God. Therefore, I'm preparing myself. Hallelujah. That's the authority that He's given us. It's a beautiful thing to know His power. So He said, all right, you're going to come with your 10-string instruments. Psalm 6 says, to the chief musician upon the ginneth. The ginneth means the hands are put together to relate to the smitings of the Messiah on Calvary. When you put your hands together, Psalm 6, verse 1, the baptism of fire. Yes, thank you, brother. Only a pastor would have thought of that one. By the Father. The Father is the assistant, the agent. You can preach that for a while. Boy, I tell you, I sure have. This is why in that special group of tapes, your place in the body of Christ. And I'd say this, that the anointing hit Marianne and she began to speak on the Shekinah glory. I've never heard anything before or since. And God will definitely speak to you and put you at the right place at the right time. And you will release gifts and the authority of the Lord over your family. And when you begin to prophesy over your family and your grandchildren, you'll see some things that it's a new dimension of setting free God's people. It's a beautiful dimension of authority. Your place in the body. We have here a subtitle. What the psalmist meant to the chief musician means to the champion of harmony. Bringing the word in harmony to what's being said. I'm going to prepare you, the psalmist is saying, for that which I am writing, verse by verse, before the verses came, but I'm going to express to you, this is the spirit you're to have when you read this song. And that's why I always thought for years, and there was a special musical connotation involved. But beyond that, it says to the chief musician, to the champion of harmony, from creation day when the sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars sang together. See, on every creative word, there are shouts in creative power. Not only just when someone's being born again, but when someone's getting filled with the Spirit, when someone's being set free, there's rejoicing in heavenly quarters.
Hallelujah.
It's every creative act, all the way to where he dips his vesture in the blood and returns in the power of his high office. Hallelujah. When he dips that vesture in the blood, that is a spiritual type of the authority that he's already moving within us in this eighth feast of ministry. The vesture is about 6 inches in width. It's woven. It has on it the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He dips it into the normal man would be 19 pints of blood. He takes his vesture, he dips it in the blood. The blood of Jesus is under the mercy seat in heaven tonight. But spiritually, that's already been done. You have the belt of champions. So to the chief musician means to the champion of harmony, the believer that harmonizes with the word becomes a champion of authority in God. So spiritually, he puts that belt of blood literally around his own body, but spiritually, he's already got it around us. Because Jesus confirmed it when he said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You have the belt of the blood already around you. You're more than conqueror. What do you think judo belts and black belts and all the belts, the boxing belts, what do you think they got that idea? They got it from the revelation of Jesus Christ, of the belt of the blood of champions. We're the true champions in the earth. Hallelujah. And he put that belt of blood around every one of us. That authority of his championship brings forth the harmony in the earth. So in Psalm 6, he brings to that tremendous criteria. The psalmist has already been dealing with. See, in the Psalms, you have the five segments, five divisions from Psalms chapter 1 to 41, the Genesis division. Psalm 42 on into about 60. The Exodus division. I can give you these if you're interested later on. You've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All the books of the Pentateuch are divided into the Psalms. You can't understand the books of the Pentateuch until you understand the Psalms. Because that's the spiritual testimony of what history has performed. Amen. So in chapter 1 of Psalms, he deals with the man who is set free. He's no longer in the council of the ungodly, standing with the sinners or with the scorners. So you parallel Psalms 1:1 with the book of Ephesians. Some of us do the opposite. Some of us take so much time with our testimony of how wretched we were, and then we know a little bit of the Scripture. Psalmist just took one verse. Said, the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth with the scorners. One verse. That's the way of the world. So you take walking, sitting, and standing. Put it into the book of Ephesians with the child of God. You walk, worthy of the vocation that you're called in love. You stand with the whole armor of God on, and having done all, still stand. You sit with Him in heavenly places. Amen? Throughout that first chapter, it shows the tremendous conversion of a man. He meditates in the law, verse 2. Verse 3, he says, then I'm taken when I have the law within me. Then I'm taken and I'm planted where many rivers come together. I sat on the edge of my seat today at lunch as Brother Jack told us of his World War II hair-raising events. Boy, that was almost better than one of my wife's favorite programs, Mission Impossible. I tell you, Brother Jack, I got a rerun that was thrilling. She and I both enjoyed that. What it means is God has taken each one of us, put us to where many rivers come to our life. He plants us in a delta. He plants us where the rivers come together. And He plants us in that delta land that's pliable, it's soft, it's damp, it's easy to grow. You can look back on your life and see who those rivers were. A pastor, grandmother, a mother, or father. Somebody that prayed for you. Somebody that helped you. Somebody that witnessed to you. He planted you among many rivers that helped you grow. And your roots took deep. Amen. Took deep root. And then in Psalms 2, He begins to speak. First of all, He takes 3 or 4 verses and tells how the world speaks. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Then in verse 6, He tells how the Father speaks. For he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Verse 7, the Son speaks. For you said, this is my Son, in Him I'm well pleased. Call upon me. And I'll show you great mighty things. Or that I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, is that verse. And the last of chapter 2 is the Holy Ghost then speaks. So in chapter 2, in Psalms, it sets up the operation of the Godhead bodily and the operation of the world. And the advances of satanic power. The world speaks and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost speaks and says, kiss the Son. The Holy Ghost knew that one day Judas would kiss Him with deceiving trickery. Judas just didn't give Him a peck. But Judas in the Greek, it said he smothered Him. He just went all over His face continually. Psalms number 3 then comes down to the personal. One of the most crisis hours of the psalmist David's life. The Holy Ghost then allowed David to express one of the greatest trials of his life. It's when Absalom, his son, took over Jerusalem. And that morning, David wrote Psalms number 3. He's the glory. He's the glory. And the lifter up of my head. Thank God we can say it. Under all kinds of opposition. Hallelujah! That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of Bible that we trust in. It's alive. Amen. In any situation. Psalms 3, he wrote it that morning. Psalms 4, he wrote it that night. He wrote Psalms 4 that night. Somebody came up, said, David, you sent Abiathar, you sent Zadok, the high priest, and the Ark of the Covenant. You sent everything that we ever trusted in. You sent them back to Jerusalem. David said, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Personally. Who will show us any good? In Psalms chapter 4. In other words, David, you sent the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. You've had it now. There's no help. And David answers back, I can just see him that day as he left Jerusalem barefooted. One of the most pitiful sights. The greatest men of their generation. David and his mighty men. And you and I are not far from the mighty men of David, because all of them were in debt. I just picked that up. I thought that. They put on capes. They had hoods. Can you see that bunch weeping, bitterly weeping? Going out from Jerusalem, barefooted as a sign, an ancient signal of being conquered. But when that little fella come up and said, David, who will show you any good? You've really goofed this time. You have sent the Ark of the Covenant, Zadok and Abiathar, the high priest. You've sent them back. David said, I just see him now pulling that hood, pulling it back from his face. You can see his tears now. Pulls it back a little further. You can see that red hair shining as he looks up and he says, Lord, lift thou up thy countenance upon us. He does something that he takes the authority of the high priest as a believer in Jehovah God. He takes the high priest authority of the Day of Atonement. When the high priest, in Numbers 6:22, God said to Moses, have Aaron on the Day of Atonement speak to my people 10 times and say on the Day of Atonement, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Said, I want my people to dwell in peace and tell them my face is on them. Amen. 10 times. That's why David took the authority of the high priest and addressed the Lord personally. And he went straight to the throne. That's why God loved David. He was a man that pursued after the heart of God. In the correct Hebrew, it means he pushed by faith his hand into God's heart, felt around, and whatever he needed. He didn't care what dispensation it was. He didn't care if it went for the priest or who it was for. If he wanted it, by faith he grabbed a hold of it, pulled it down, and walked in. That's why God said, he's a man that pursues my heart. The word exalts my heart means anything David wants, he always breaks the door down and gets it. And he come over into the New Testament, and Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, gives us the same expression there. Ask, and ye shall receive, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And the Greek there means, when you knock, break the door down. That's right. In the original Greek, Jesus left that alone. He kept the same divinic covenant the Father had with David. And we are as David's seed through Jesus. We can do the same. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I loose the anointing of thy word. I thank you that we have access to the throne. We can reach by faith up to thy heart and receive what we, hallelujah, are prompted to get from thy word. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So now he comes to Psalm 6 on clapping. And Psalm 6, and I've just skipped, I have to, because of time. And he looks, and he says, to the chief musician, that's a subtitle, upon Megiddo. Megiddo means the smitings, where the Messiah has been smitten at Calvary. When you take your hands and you cause friction, that's the closest thing in the Hebrew to express Jesus on the cross. And that's what the word Megiddo means. When you clap, you're expressing the victory that our Messiah Jesus has been smitten on Calvary, that we can clap knowing that Satan also has been stripped and smitten of all of his power. Hallelujah. That's the authority we have. So we are chief musicians upon Megiddo because we know, in other words, you are a champion of harmony because of Calvary. That's what it means. So as we address ourselves with clapping, why do we clap? Number one, there are three dimensions of clapping. Number one, the dimension of clapping is with a harmonious and in the musical realm of rejoicing. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you clap on the heart level, so your first level of clapping is heart level. That's praise and worship that is musical and brings forth harmony in the world. It releases the menstrual anointing on a congregation. The menstrual anointing is one of the most fervent anointings that releases the authority of the word and also the gift of the Spirit. It's hard to preach when a platform, as in ministerial language we call it, is down, or a service is bound. That's why we need good praisers. That's why we love to see the anointing of praiser. In the third chapter of 2 Kings, the kings of Ahab, Jehoshaphat, they got the army of Israel and they came. They were going to battle. They did not have water. So they said, how are we going to get water? Jehoshaphat said, well, isn't there a man of God in the area? There was a servant that said, yes, there is. There's Elisha. So they found Elisha. And Elisha said, I cannot help you. In other words, I don't just carry a release in a suitcase type of thing, but I cannot help you until you get me a minstrel. So they never name the minstrel, but they get somebody that can praise the Lord. They bring out a minstrel. He begins to praise and sing and glorify God. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. Hallelujah. The hand of the Lord. And he began to prophesy, fill the valley full of ditches. And the army of the Lord began to dig a ditch where they were. You want a great victory? This is where the body of Christ is today. The washing or water is a symbol of God's word, a type of God's word. The body of Christ needs revelation of the word, the water of the word. One of the most neglected areas of families right now, and it comes all to you, to us gentlemen. Husbands, love your wives. That's great. Ephesians 5:25. But it also says, husbands, love your wives, but as Christ washes or loves his church, yes. But then it says, and as he washes his body with the word. We hardly ever hear that too much. It's one thing, brethren, to love our wives as Christ loved the church. It's another thing to take the word and wash our wife with the word. Keep the word, not in a reprimanding, not in a sort of a prodding, but as a blessing, a coding, an atmosphere of joy. Keep the word over our wife. Take that son who is driven with emotional desires. Take him on into the book of Proverbs. Let that boy know, Father, that you're washing your family with the word as Christ washes his family with the word. Take that daughter who's got some tremendous pressure. Peer pressure of your son and daughter is not going to be met by the educational system. It's going to be met. And it's not the biblical order of just the mother leading the children in prayer. It comes from the father. And when the father takes the daughter and says, now, dear, I want you to come on in here to Proverbs 31. This is the virtuous woman. I'm going to believe with you now, honey. You're not just going to take the first Tom, Dick, or Harry. Or some little fella that comes along and says, I love you, honey. Therefore, let's have relationship, intimate relationship, and see if it works before we get married. Well, stick your head in the cement mixer and see if it works. It's the same principle. And you'll take insecurity off of that daughter, and she won't have to as the age approaches and goes beyond in some cases. But you believe with your son, and he'll not be driven by playboy desires. Because you put within him the book of Proverbs that will guard him at the most tempting hour. Why? Because you followed the biblical principle.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's praise God with a clap on.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, sweet Lamb of God. That's the authority. So the first level is the heart level. The second level is the shoulder level, the government level. When you clap on government level, that means the authority of the Lord and His government is in the world. The glory of God is upon us. The anointing of His power, praising and worshiping God. We get it from the prophet Isaiah, for the government shall be upon His shoulder. It comes from the Jewish wedding, when the groom takes his cape by the right corner with his right hand, puts his cape over his bride, the Jewish wedding of Isaiah's day, puts his hand on her right shoulder. That's what Isaiah meant. The government shall be upon his shoulder. That's why we'll rule and reign with him. And he'll rule with a rod of iron. I looked at the word rod of iron in the Hebrew, and it means the backbone of his people. He's going to have a people that will be strong and do exploits. He's going to have a backbone of anointing upon each one of us. And that's why in Matthew 17, he told Peter, he said, Peter, sure, we'll pay tribute money. But he said, I want to teach you something, Peter. I want you to take a hook. Now, all the other times Peter fished with a net, but this time Jesus wanted to teach him something. He said, lest we offend them for a while, we won't offend. That's what took us into the dark ages. But he said, Peter, there'll be a day when the children of the kingdom will be set free. Then are the children free. This is in the latter portion of Matthew 17 chapter. He says, no, now Peter, take a hook. He goes back to Ezekiel 38, 39, means a limitation. Take a hook. Toss the hook in. As you bring up the fish, open its mouth. It'll have a coin there. The hook in the fish is just as great of importance than the coin in the fish's mouth. What is the sign of the church movement? Fish. There'll be a day. This is the day. The Lord said there'll be a day that the king's kids, the king's children, then are the children free. That our allegiance will not be so much to a religious earthly system. That will decrease. The hook is in the fish. But the kingdom will increase. And the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent will take it by storm. And in Unger's dictionary, he explains that tribute money. On one side, it was pure redemption. But on the other side, it stood for bad food that caused infected blood. That refers to the reference of the last verse of Joel. For years in the ministry, I never could understand the last verse of the book of Joel, the Holy Ghost verse, where it says, I will cleanse their blood from Mount Zion. But that's what Jesus meant. He said there will be so much infiltration of earthly religious systems in my gospel, which is my blood being spoken. And I'm not going to have gangrene in my body. I'm not going to have infected blood. And that's why God says, when in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, I'm going to purify my word. You're not going to hear old canned sermons of powers of positive thinking, for God's going to cleanse and purify his word. We're not no longer going to hear the word being filtered through personalities and through institutionalized groups of emphasis. We're going to hear the authority, thus saith the Lord. Because the glory was veiled. When they veiled Moses' face, they veiled the face, they veiled their hearts, and they veiled the word. 2 Corinthians 3. The veils are lifting from our faces. The veils are lifting from our hearts. The Holy Ghost is riding on our heart. And the last veil to be lifted is being lifted before your eyes and mine. Hermeneutics that was trained in our Bible colleges is no more effective in these last days as the army of the Lord is being raised up, as the anointing of the Lord. It's good within its certain capacity, but no more. When those barbed wire sermons, days are over. 3 points and throw in a missionary and you're through. Or rehash some salvation sermon that you've kept on file. Instead of digging in and saying, what is the burden of the Lord? My God, what do you want me to say? And that's why the Lord says, the hook is in the fish. It's decreasing. But the kingdom shall increase. Thank you, Father. The children of the kingdom is among us. The blood is being purified, and I'll cleanse their blood. That means the message of the word. The glory is returning to the word. The word for glory in the Greek, where it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory, he's changing me. In your notes, the Greek word there is a beautiful word, doxa, D-O-X-A. That means the honor of God placed on a good opinion. There we have praise again. As you praise the Lord, as you worship, the honor of God's on your lips. That's the time to make your petitions known. Amen. That's the time to speak the creative word. Now that's the Greek word, doxa. From glory to glory, he's changed me. Now, in the Hebrew, the word is Quran, Q-U-R-A-N, and it means the visible lightning bolts or shafts. And it's interchangeable with the word horn. That's why Michelangelo made his great statue of Moses with horns on the forehead, because that's the only way he could express the glory of God that was upon Moses. The Septuagint reads, that Moses came out of the mount not being aware that his face was horned in a positive sense. But that doesn't mean that he had horns. It means there were shafts, lightning bolts of glory, of the presence of God. Wherever he went. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that's going to gather momentum and power as the authority of the Word flows through us and the Word is continually cleansed from Mount Zion and we begin to express the purity of God's Word. The veil is lifted. Hallelujah. Someone set free. Saved and delivered and provided for. The anointing of the Word with its red shall do the work. Amen. Amen. The glory of the Lord, hallelujah, is returning. Praise the Lord. That's what he's doing. He's cleansing his precious blood. The third dimension of clapping is 6 inches higher in the realms of a weapon of our warfare. And it says to the chief musician upon the ginneth, or in the smitings, And when you clap in this realm, it becomes a weapon. Making melody in your heart level is the first. The government level is your shoulders. In the mental level, or that which is in a satanic realm, when you clap in the authority of the Lord in a higher dimension, satanic, demonic spirits, all of the satanic armies are bound in the name of Jesus. Psalm 6 says to the chief musician upon Neginath, because of the smitings, when you begin to clap as a weapon of God, Satan is bound. Number one, all satanic power has to leave that which you're lifting up to Jesus. It's a loved one, it's a business, a circumstance, a job, whatever it is, a ministry, you're set free. Number two, clapping beckons the angels of God to assist you. Hallelujah. Number three, it's on Sheminith. Sheminith means the eight. It means that this is the men of eight, the anointing. We get that from the word Christ, the anointed one. Is this the numeric for that word Messiah is eight, the number eight. All Hebrew words are valued in numbers. So the anointing comes upon you as you're clapping. And then it says it's in the eighth octave. It means that all excess and former teaching against the power of God, any former teaching that would try to limit you from being your best for Jesus. See, that's in Hebrews 5, verse 11. The writer says, I want to tell you more about Jesus as after the order of Melchizedek. I want to tell you more of this. But he says, you're unable to receive it because you're dull of hearing. And the word dull is the Greek word nothros, N-O-T-H-R-O-S. And nothros means former teaching hath limited the vision of Jesus within you. Hallelujah. You've been set free. And when you clap, you're clapping in the eighth octave. In other words, you're set free to worship, to move in the glory of God, to believe God in the authority of His Word, the anointing's upon you. So truly you have become a man, a woman of eight. Hallelujah. That means that the anointing of Christ is within you. You have the anointed one upon you. Glory to God. And whatever you're concerned about, whatever the Spirit of God's placed on your heart, lift up your hands now all together and let's believe God for you're set free in your ministry, in your family. Your loved ones are free. Your job is free. The anointing's upon you. We're loose tonight by the power and the authority of God. Loose, my brother. Loose, my sister. You're set free in every area of your life. You're free in your home. You're free in your job. You're free in your ministry. The anointing of the Lord's upon us. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Leviticus chapter 23, the eighth feast. We have mentioned Leviticus in the 23rd chapter is the chapter of the feast. I'm glad the brethren said that just seems like there's no Old and New Testament. That's the way I feel. It's a full revelation. I think it's a beautiful thing to see. In fact, in my early ministry, the Lord Jesus, I said, Lord, I've studied handfuls on purpose. I think I got that pulpit magazine. And I studied 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and 14. If my people... Billy Graham has a beautiful outline on that one. Boy, I preached all those second-handed ones. I preached Oral Roberts, his fourth man, till I had everybody in the furnace. Sometimes it didn't go past the third row, but I'd preach it. But I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, it's good. I've studied Spurgeon. I've studied F.B. Meyer, G. Campbell Morgan's one of my favorites. Stanley Jones, wonderful Methodist, missionary, beloved man. Raymond T. Ritchie, through Texas and Oklahoma, one of the greatest evangelists of the 30s. Many others. As the Lord said to me, he said, you want to reach my people? I said, yes, Lord. He said, all right, you listen. When my people testify or when they give a prophecy or an interpretation, by the way, possibly tomorrow before we minister or after we minister, we'll have a release class. Miriam will give her testimony of how the Lord released her in prophecy after 10 years of being a pastor's wife. Jesus gave her one of the most beautiful expressions from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. And we'll be having a release class. And you that have not prophesied or have not moved in discernment or words of knowledge or wisdom or any other gifts, you will be released by the power of the Spirit. This is a state of art among believers. We teach these workshops at PTL and every month, and now it's every other month. And my, how God is, there's just a tremendous rising among the world because people want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for this hour. Amen? The devil's doing all he can to send fear throughout the earth, but when people are set free in the gifts, if you realize, as you read Timothy there, it says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. But the verse before that is, stir up the gift. Isn't that right? Stir it up. You'll not have fear. I like that. That's the authority we have. So now, the anointing of the feast, the authority of God bringing forth these eight feasts. Now, we've heard Israel worship the feast days. There were seven feasts, three times in the year. And I was talking to the Lord along those lines, and he said, well, son, if you want to reach my people, listen to a testimony or an interpretation, or listen to a prophecy. Listen to my people, because there'll be one, two, or three. Take down the theme. Remember the theme. Write it down. Then fortify that theme with Scripture. And you'll be preaching what I'm telling my people. Simple, isn't it? He says, you'll always be on time. Amen. And number two rule, he said, is always go into both covenants, the Old and New Testaments, the both covenants, and all the covenants of David and Abraham and so forth. If you'll preach from my covenants, you'll never be without revelation of my word. Hallelujah. I'm proven to be. So this is why the Lord wanted to express to you and I his power and his authority. He doesn't want the feast. And I said, well, Jesus, how about the seven feasts? He said, how about it? Well, I said, was it just for Israel and then we forget him? The Lord said, do you have a Passover? Yeah. See, when the blood was applied, hallelujah. How many have had their Passover? You've been set free by the blood of Jesus. How many have had a Pentecost when the Holy Ghost come upon? Unleavened bread when the sanctification of the Lord moves in your life. And that's sort of a continuing process. Amen. First fruits. Oh, the anointing. Giving your best to Jesus. So three times in the year, he said, I want you to meet with me in the springtime, March and April. I want you to have Passover. And that's the barley harvest around March. He says, in June is the wheat harvest. I want you, the one feast there is Pentecost. In the spring of the year, Passover, and that's celebrated with the unleavened bread, and I believe with the first fruits. Passover feast, the unleavened bread, and the first fruits are together. Then in the summertime, in June, is the wheat harvest, and that's Pentecost, which stands alone. Then around October is the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's when the Day of Atonement and the trumpet anointings are. So you have those three segments in the year. The word feast means to appear before the Lord. I said, well, Lord, was that just for Israel? And it really is. But how does it affect us today spiritually? And Jesus asked me, he says, are you made up of three compartments? And I said, well, yeah, what are they? And I said, spirit, soul, and body. He says, that's exactly the key to the feast of appearing before me. As you worship me in your life and put me first, your spirit every year shall be increased in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Every year you shall be enlarged. You'll interpret. You'll come forth with prophecy. Every year you shall increase in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and the anointing of my power shall increase in your life, and you will never be stagnant. As you worship me, your spirit in the interval of a year shall be advanced. Every year you will be more bold, and your soul then, your spirit and your soul or your emotional nature shall take on the fruits of the Spirit. Every year you'll flow in a deeper knowledge and sensitivity of patient love, sacrificial love. You'll flow in the joy. You'll flow in the peace and long and gentleness. Where did gentleness go in the body? And Jesus said, every year as you worship me, those same similar feasts will come upon you as you keep your heart and keep your life in holiness and righteousness, and as you give and support with the first fruits, and as you worship me and speak in the gifts and fruits of the Spirit, I will move upon your emotion. I will move upon you with the fruits of my Spirit, that you'll be gentle. Friction shall lift off of your family. You'll not have the knockdown dragons. You'll not have the upheavals. Your heart will not be in a nervous frenzy. I will take friction, lift it from you. And others' hearts will fail them for fear of that which coming on the earth. But my people shall be strong and do exploits. Because emotionally, you shall be, when you hear even evil tidings, your heart is fixed. So your spirit, every year you'll be advancing in the gifts of the Spirit. Your soul, every year the fruits shall abound of the Spirit. And your body, every year you can expect an increase in your health and in your income.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's praise Him with a clap. Hallelujah. To appear before the Lord. Those are the seven feasts. Now, in Leviticus 23, some people forget that the Lord calls out eight feasts. And He calls it out in verse 2. He shall proclaim, which ye shall proclaim, the feast of the Lord. Even these are my feasts. 6 days shall thy work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Underline in verse 3, Sabbath of rest. That's Leviticus 23, verse 3. Put down number 1 in your Bible or in your notes. Let's go through these quickly. Number 2 is verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. Circle number 2, verse 5. Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Underline it. Circle it. At the end of that verse, put number 3. Unleavened bread. Unto the Lord 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Number 3. Go to verse 10. Speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. First fruits. Underline sheaf of the first fruits. Number 4. That's in verse 10. Number 5, go down to verse 16 of Leviticus 23. I start with verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Verse 16, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. So in the Greek, the word 50 days is Pentecost. That's where we get the Feast of Pentecost. And so that's why we call it Pentecost. Anyway, Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. So you'll circle verse 16 and put feast number 5. Now what is this wave offering? See, you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Verse 17, ye shall bring but of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour and so forth. 2 wave loaves. It's very important that we explain here the explanation of Pentecost. The high priest was to bake 2 loaves of bread, 4 feet long, 1.5 feet wide, 6 inches deep. He bakes 2 loaves of bread. One stands for the Jewish nation. The other loaf stands for the Gentiles. And the high priest gets these loaves in verse 17, 2 wave loaves. He puts these 2 wave loaves into his hands and lifts them up. And then he begins to wave them unto Jehovah God on the day of Pentecost. And that means that one day, under the Pentecostal power, one day the earth will have a great harvest of mankind. One day the Jew and Gentile shall flow together. And the instrument to bring that to pass has been not only the cross, but the ability of the Lord Jesus. The Ancient of Days gave Jesus the right to baptize mankind with the power of the Holy Spirit to reverse the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, man wanted to be religious and build a tower up to heaven. And God said they can't be stopped, but we can confuse them with many languages. So the word ethnic then came into mankind and humankind. Many languages were given and divided mankind. But in preaching for years, I never knew the scripture that gave Jesus the right to be the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. I know what John the Baptist said. I know what Isaiah said about this is the rest. This is the refreshing. Stammering lip in another tongue. John said, he that cometh after me, mightier than I, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. But that's not the scripture that Jehovah gave in Daniel 7:14. Write that down. It's the scripture that gave Jesus the right to be the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. And Daniel 7:14, the Father is the Ancient of Days. And he calls forth in verse 13, and he calls the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of Man. This is very significant that Jesus is the Son of Man, not like Ezekiel's Son of Man. The word there is so profound and different in the Hebrew that I never heard it taught anywhere except in Jerusalem by the Southern Baptist pastor, Dr. Bob Lindsay, who is also charismatic, filled with the Holy Ghost. Dr. Bob Lindsay taught us that this word, Son of Man, means in the Hebrew, write this in your notes, the Baranach, B-A-R-I-N-A-C-H. The Baranach means the highest supernatural being, the Ancient of Days makes Jesus the highest supernatural being in divine order. This is the key to your Gospels in the New Testament. This is what will give power to the saints of the Most High, to every believer. When you read the New Testament, always underline where Jesus quotes when he says, the Son of Man hath power over the Sabbath. The Son of Man can forgive sin. The Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. How many have read that? For years I thought, I know what it is, but I couldn't say what it is. Just, well, that's him. It's more than him. It means the Ancient of Days has given him the baronon, the signet of the Son of Man, who will restore the earth and all things under the Father's care. By that I mean the authority of the earth to be given. He has come to raise up the saints of the Most High to repossess the earth that was fallen. Hallelujah. And when Jesus quotes from the Son of Man, somebody with a computer of the Bible went through it with the computer and picked out every verse. And I have every verse that mentions the Son of Man. And when you read those, your whole outlook is strong. Amen. The strength, the anointing of the Lord. So that's the authority we have. And this is why the Lord is saying, that's the beauty. That's as the Ancient of Days gave him the right. And so in verse 14, he gave him over the Son of Man, or the Baronach. He gave him all people, all nations, and all languages. That's the verse that gave Jesus the right to be the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, is Daniel 7, verse 14. The Ancient of Days gave him all languages. He gave them to mankind at the Tower of Babel. He gives them now to Jesus. And Jesus becomes the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, giving to mankind the Holy Ghost languages. That's why it's very important to speak in unknown tongues, because you are speaking now the restoration of the earth back under the Father. You're reversing the fall. Hallelujah. That's why it's important to speak in the heavenly language and to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to come into the rest. The eighth feast then is this Sabbath, or the feast of rest. And that's why Isaiah said, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. With stammering lip and another tongue will I speak to this people. No man can control his tongue, James tells us. How can the Father rest within individual believers unless they have rest? Whew. That's why it's very important to have the eighth feast. In Acts 26, it takes a lot more time, and I'll try to close. Acts 26, Jesus inaugurated the eighth feast in Scripture at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Let's read it. Turn to Acts chapter 26. And at midday, O king, he's talking to King Agrippa, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Verse 16. Underline this, please. For I have appeared unto thee. You've got to underline that, because that's your only connection. One of the connections. But that's your identifying connection. The word feast means to appear before the Lord. Exodus 34:24 says, When you appear before me, Three times in the year, I'll not allow anyone, no man will desire your land. That means molest or steal from you or pilferage from you. Exodus 34:24. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Jesus is saying, I have brought you now unto a continuity feast, a continual presence. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 said, for he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I'll not fear. Marianne read to me one day, I'll be amplified, and it reads, I'll not be seized with fear. There are seizures of illness in the physical. But Hebrews 13:5 proves to us there are seizures in spiritual realms. I'll not be seized with fear. Hallelujah. What can man do unto us? We are set free. Therefore, the feast of ministry is the eighth feast because Jesus is Lord. He sets you and I free. He says, I've appeared unto thee and I'll continue to appear unto you as you release my gifts, as you release my power. My presence shall sustain you and I will be with you. Loosing the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You shall flow in my power. You shall release my anointing. Thank you, Jesus. This is our finest hour. Amen. That's why his office within us. Praise God. And the Father has made us the habitation of God. How can the Father rest? May he rest within us. May you be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Thank you, Father. Holy Commission. For ye, my people, rejoice, for the Lord will give you the strong arm of Zion. For I will speak to thee, yea, and my peace shall be upon you. So rise up and be strong, for I shall move upon thee, and I will walk with thee, yea, in my power. So therefore relax, rest in my word, for the peace of the Lord persuadeth thee. For I will come into thy home, I will visit thee with peace and power, and thou shalt know the anointing of the Lord is for you for this hour. Know thou not that I'll take in security from you. I shall bless thee with tranquility, and the provision of thy God shall be strong. For I've covered thee and cocooned you in my power and in my presence, and the glory of the Lord shall shoot forth from you. For surely the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his glory beams. So the same glory that shoots forth from me shall shoot forth from you. As you're baptized with my Spirit, the anointing of the Lord's upon you. Yea, come, my beloved, into the habitation of the Lord, for I shall submerge you into my cocoon of love, and thou shalt come forth, yea, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and as my anointing's upon you, you shall speak with great harmony, and the world will know that I have a people that fear my name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a wonderful thing the Lord has done for us. We have the dimension. Psalms 110 is just beautiful when it says in verse 3 that we're in the womb of the morning. See, when you were in your mother's womb, you were getting ready for the natural life, the physical life. Then when you're born again, you're put into the womb of the morning, getting you ready for the eternal life. It's a beautiful thing. And the umbilical cord in both instances gives us strength. Because we're in the womb of the morning, and the umbilical cord is attached at the same place. Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Where does the umbilical cord come from then, of the Spirit? In the last chapter of Revelation, it says the river of life comes from the throne of God. So out from the throne comes the river of life by the umbilical cord of the Spirit, and it is attached to each one of us because we're in the womb of the morning. And wherever we go, it's a new day.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Isn't it wonderful?
Hallelujah.
It's just beautiful.
Hallelujah.
To see the authority of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have I prayed for you guys here? I'd like to minister to you. Just stand up.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Shall the Lord do this for you? Yes. Because you have agreed together. Yea, because you're joint heirs together of the graces of life. I'm not going to allow this to pass by you. I'm not going to allow this to be robbed of you. It's about 3 months ago, there's a lot of those things that the enemy would try to keep back from you because of that investment that you seemingly lost, but you didn't lose it. I'm going to restore these things. There's some of that legal harassment too, my son, that I'm going to repay you. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to change those personalities. I'm going to vindicate you. Yea, my authority's upon you. Yea, because you did not bring railing accusation. Yea, you were confused on the issue, true. But yea, my spirit upon thee. Yea, because the name of the Lord is thy high tower. And you raised your arms unto me. And you said, yeah, I'm frustrated, but God knows. And I do know, therefore I'll restore what's been taken from you. By the palmer worm and by the canker worm, I am the restorer of the breach. And my anointing is with thee. And thou shalt surely know the Lord thy God has placed you in a promotional degree of authority. I have put my authority over thee. Yea, my mantle is over you as one. You will complement each other. My peace will flow down through you. Yea, my daughter, your back is healed by the stripes of the Lord. You shall not be uncomfortable in the night season, and your metabolism is healed and is balanced by my power. And you'll know that this intimate desire, you will not be robbed of that grace that you've been believing for, that you've had medical attention recently. The anointing of the Lord will do it. And yea, you'll walk in it and shout, and we'll dance together on Mount Zion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good to us? Amen. Precious He is. Well, the anointing's here so strong. Did I pray for you last night, this lady here with your arms? Yeah, would you like? No, this one here. You come, yes. Is that who I think it is? What are you doing back here? Well, my goodness, that's Brother Dow's daughter. I didn't know you was here. Well, Joanne. Now this is true, and this is wonderful. See, we know Joanne and the daughter Shonda's with you. See, but the Lord held my eyes till I called her out. Then I recognized her. So see, the Lord knows how, amen, to minister. So in this case, I'm going to give her the word, and then I'm going to open to the brethren or whoever else has a word. Because that way we'll have confirmation. Amen. Just a dear individual. Kila Baba Kibasita. Come a little further, Joanne. I've given you the heritage of Moses that was upon your home and your family and upon your mother because of new areas and because she felt her background was limited, yet in me she had wisdom beyond her days. And therefore I have given you that spirit of Moses because Aaron and Hur had to hold his arms up. But you haven't had anybody to hold your arms up. So I've held them up. And I've been with thee, and I have brought those. And my peace is upon you. And your children, yea, are taught of the Lord. And you'll say, yea, the Lord has been faithful. And you'll see the day when I shall, yea, see my anointing and the truth shall come back. You've thrown your bread upon the water, and your children that were taught shall see the glory of my wisdom. And you'll know the Lord has vindicated you in my peace. Now this is my timing. Express yourself, yea, as David. For in this I shall, yea, open my heart, that I have you at the right place, the right time, and my anointing, yea, shall bring it to pass. Do not fear. You've seen, yea, the dead-end street. You're no stranger to these things that would try to smother and to come in like a flood. But yet your eyes are on me, and I say unto thee that I've given you the quickening. I've given you the authority. Mary Ann, join me. I've given you that peace, that tranquility of my anointing. And because, yeah, you say, well, it looks like it's done. It looks like the regime is over. But I say unto thee, you've just begun to see. For yea, a fresh wave is coming. You can feel the spray of it even now. The anointing of my power is upon thee. Surely a new revelation. Surely, yea, out of nothing. Yea, as I brought the root of Jesse, I will bring this deliverance for thee. And my authority is with thee. Therefore, the mantle of my peace, that which tried to crowd you, that which tried to smother you, that which hit you under the belt. Yea, I have given you the belt of the blood and the joy of my strength and the desire of your heart. I say unto thee, you're going to see the Lord supply beautifully. And this intimate desire too shall walk with thee. For I have already spoken. I've already spoken to a heart. And you'll see the Lord has not forgotten the depth of your desire. And I will walk with thee and give you a handful on purpose. But nobody knows that which gnaws at your heart and accuses you. The accuser of the brethren would try to eat out the every ounce of faith till the despair of life would try to come upon you. But I say unto thee, look up, for my anointing is with thee. I say unto thee, lift up your eyes, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of thy faith. For surely the Lord has you at the right place, the right time. I'm going to restore wealth. I'm going to bring to pass my anointing. You'll not be robbed of that which you've labored for. And the son of the stranger will not get it. But you'll see the glory of the Lord. I'll do it and you'll rejoice, because with integrity you've obeyed me. And with integrity and with love and with the provision, the Lord shall bless you. You've watched over my family. You've taught my people and my children. You've taught in education. I will teach you and train you. As you've been, very patient with my people, I shall bless you and your family, and you'll see the Lord is God, and the Lord shall triumphantly bless you during this time of shadows, during this time, yea, that one foot can't find the other. I will bless thee and lead you, and you'll say the Lord has been faithful and will lead me. Yea, of a truth, I will rejoice and be in the land of the living. Amen. Praise God. He said, "La vocura basita." Joanne, I just feel a great provision. He looking at Sandalwa. Great authority. This whole thing has been turned. My God, you knew Joanne came. Oh God, to be minister. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the mantle of the Lord. You're in the cocoon of the Lord. Amen. Is the further word loosen?
I would say unto thee, weep not for the old paths that you see that are ending and closing up, for I say that I would have you to look ahead and rejoice at the new paths that I am opening unto thee. For I say unto thee, as one cycle closes, I have begun a new cycle. And I say unto thee that ye have not even begun to walk in that which I have prepared for thee. I say unto thee, yes, I have prepared a new way, and a new path and a new cycle of life. And I say, I have called thee to life and to living. And I say that I shall bring it to pass upon thee. It shall overtake thee. You shall not search for it. You shall not have to go around and look, for I shall bring it upon thee. And I say it shall cloak thee over with newnesses, and it shall be a cause of rejoicing in thy heart. Do not turn around and look and mourn for the old, for I say unto thee that I will cause thee to rejoice for that which I will bring unto thee. I have called thee unto rejoicing, even as I have called
yes.
thy family. And I say, ye shall rejoice at that which I shall put before thy eyes. And I say unto thee that I shall make up to thee that which hath been taken away. Yea, I say unto thee,
Please,
that
Lord.
Thou shalt not continually have Lord. The thievery put before thee, but I say unto
Amen.
Thee, I shall call an end to it. It shall be put behind
an
thee, and ye shall look to that which I shall do unto thee, for it shall be a security and a safety and a building unto thee from
yes.
this day forward.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah. Reach your hand out toward her. Bless her and her daughter. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise Hallelujah. Come on, Sean. For yea, the strength that I have given thee, and I have put a wall of fire around you, for my power and my authority, the angels, the ministering spirits of fire, I put around about you. You have nothing to fear, but you'll know that the Lord shall supply. For yea, from this day forward, all types of negative stealings and thievery and poverty are bound from you. You're set free. The anointing of my provisions upon you, and you will be blessed of the Lord. Amen. And that authority that I have given, yea, my daughter, rise up and know that the strength of the Lord is with you, that I've healed and strengthened you for this hour. My word shall come forth, and you'll teach my word with power, and you shall be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. For yea, I've opened your ears to hear, and you will have the tongue of the learned, and you'll speak of the unsearchable riches of my grace. I called you. It was about 11 years old, 10 or 11, that the anointing come on you. And I remember those covenants that I gave you, saith the Lord. And therefore I shall loose them and restore you to where you'll speak now. And you'll not have any bitterness or any kind of drag, but you will move with favor, and you will have a complete success and a finesse in the anointing of the Spirit, and you'll not have any gimmickry of the success of the world, but you will be a finesse, an instrument of joy, and I will give you by my gifts the anointing, the cunningness of my authority. And you shall see the Lord will already show you things to come and have his formulas and his power and his glory, and you'll rest in it. Amen. Amen. Use her, Father.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.